What's up, Marky?
What's going on, Aaron? How you doing, buddy?
Good. Good morning, everybody. I know we're a few minutes early. We know we told everybody 11 a.m., but we have a very, very special guest with us. Brian Hoke, the MLB sports writer for the New York Yankees, is joining us. So we're going to get started a little bit early. We have a very limited amount of time with him. So I want to welcome him into the stage with us. Jared, if you want to bring Brian in for us, we got a little bit of an intro.
Good that was morning, beautiful. Brian. Wow, that was great.
Oh, what do you think about that, dude?
That is one of the best intros I've ever seen. Yeah, I love that.
Our producer has some skills.
Nice job. He's an amazing guy.
Yeah, we appreciate your time, man. We will try to get through this as quickly as possible. Again, thank you so much for joining us. We got a lot of Yankee fans. Spring training's on us. You obviously know that. Could you just maybe give us a little bit of an insight? What's the vibe like in camp this year with the new players we got, and how's everybody feeling down there?
Yeah, team looks good. I mean, this is the time of year where optimism is everything, right? Everybody's in the best shape of their lives. Everybody's going to have a great season. But I do think that there is some intensity, I guess, that maybe was lacking last year. I've noticed that. I feel like last season, 82-80, you know, as Aaron Boone said, they got sand kicked in their face. I think that everybody was kind of embarrassed by the way last year went, and started down here early with Aaron Judge and a lot of the other players going over to the minor league complex in December, in January. I feel, you know, DJ LeMahieu was telling me that he took maybe a week off and then went right back to training for the season. So I feel like a lot of these guys, there's a hunger here, and they're excited. Of course, you go and make a trade for Juan Soto, who's going to be a lot of fun to watch this year. They made some other moves here with Alex Verdugo, with Marcus Stroman. So, but for the most part, you have that same core last year of guys coming back who want to prove that they are better than 82-80, that they should be the favorites in the American League East. And I feel like they're on a mission here to show there's more in the tank than they were able to produce last year.
Yeah, I know the injury bug caught them a little bit last year. Could you give us maybe a couple injury updates? How does Rodon look? I know my guy, Anthony Rizzo, he had his concussion stuff. And maybe give us an update on the progress of Jason Dominguez. He seems like he's really far ahead of his recovery from Tommy John.
All right, I'll go in order. Rodon looks a lot trimmer than he did last year. I feel like he focused and made conditioning a priority here. And his first time out looked very good. Then his second time out, he went in live batting practice, and he got hit hard. He gave up some hard contact. So I think the jury is still a little bit out on what we're going to see out of Rodon this year. I don't think he was ever completely healthy last season. So, you know, they're counting on him to bounce back as their number two starter. Rizzo looks fantastic. He has told me that the fog has lifted. He can actually see the ball again. The way he put it was, he feels like he got his superpowers back, that he can actually see the ball and hit the ball. He had a big night the other night here, hit a grand slam, and then had a second home run in that game. So that's a really good sign to see him impacting the baseball. And I know it's spring training. You don't want to read too much into results, but those are literally things he wasn't able to do last year. And we could all see it after, I think, May 28 was the concussion. And he was just a completely different player. And now he looks back to the guy who was up until May 28, who was having a really good season. He was one of their best offensive players to that point. And Dominguez, you asked about, has resumed swinging a bat. That's a good sign for him. He's just hitting balls off a tee. So it's slow progress. Yeah, but you're looking at him maybe June, maybe July to get back into big leagues. But I think he's going to be playing in games, minor league games, a lot sooner than that. So, you know, we're watching him kind of shag in the outfield, and he's lightly playing catch around 60 feet. So he's still got a ways to go with rehab, but it's Tommy John for a position player. A lot of guys have done this before. So I expect that at some point this summer, he's going to come back and be the same Jason Dominguez who looked great during those eight games at the tail end of last season.
Okay. That's awesome news to hear. Any players that you're seeing now in camp that you think potentially could make an impact early this season, maybe break camp with the team, or maybe a September call-up to help with the playoff push? Do anybody that you're sticking out in your brain right now?
There's a few guys that come to my mind. I mean, the first one that everybody wants to talk about here is Spencer Jones. And just you look at him and you say, this is going to be a stud prospect. You can envision him playing in the Bronx. And, you know, I actually had like a 10-minute chat with him this morning, and he's just got such a good head on his shoulders. He seems so focused and ready for this challenge. And I know he's going to start the year at Double A, he's got to climb up. But Dominguez did that too last year, and Dominguez was able to make it to the majors by the end, and he barely played in Triple A. So I think that that's something Spencer Jones could do. The power is the first thing that stands out to me. The size, you know, we heard about him on draft day being a left-handed Aaron Judge. He's 6'6", and he's still got room to build on that muscle. A big part of his offseason training was doing that. And, you know, his first swing in a Grapefruit League game, he hits a ball 470 out to right center field. That's going to make you notice. And so you're going to pay attention to that kid. And he's also got speed, too. He can run the bases. I think he stole more than 40 bases last year in the minor. So he's a guy that I would keep an eye on. Jorbit Bibas is a guy that a lot of Yankee fans may not know the name. He came over from the Dodgers, but he has been hitting for some power. They see him as a second baseman. So obviously the Yanks have Gleyber Torres as a starting second baseman. Gleyber's a free agent after this year. So I feel like he's a name that you want to keep on the radar there and keep an eye on this year in the minor leagues. And, you know, another guy in camp here, relief pitcher and non-roster invitee who's been lighting it up on the radar gun, has great stuff, is Nick Birdie. So he might make the team and head north if the Yankees need an extra arm in the bullpen. So those are three names here that I've seen in camp who have impressed me.
Yeah, Birdie's got some electric stuff. I've been watching him. I don't know if you know this. We're about 30 minutes north of the Rail Riders for AAA.
Okay.
So we get to get down there quite a bit. So it's exciting to go see these prospects as they're coming up. I got to see Judge play. I got to see these guys coming through. So I'm kind of excited to see what the future is going to bring. We touched on Dominguez before. It was kind of cool to see his story, how he kind of forced their hand. They almost had to call him up last year, just the way he was playing. And I think Spencer Jones is going to do the same. You know, to see that outfield potentially with Soto, Jones, and Judge out there is just going to be ridiculous. Or maybe there's a position change in the future for Aaron. You know, so Dominguez has some room. So it's going to be interesting to see how these next few years play out. All right, so we're going to kind of get off the professional stuff here. I want to ask you a couple questions. I did see when you went out to do the Field of Dreams game in Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
So I was following your story. You were, you know, putting posts up every day how your flight was canceled and you had some travel. So I wanted to know, did you kind of channel your inner Ray Kinsella and Terrence Mann when you were making that cross-country road trip? Like, was that in the back of your head as you were driving out there to make this game?
The thought crossed my mind somewhere around the Pennsylvania border. I said, this is kind of like the movie. Yeah, I mean, what an appropriate way to pay homage to honor the Field of Dreams, to take that big road trip. Because I think in that movie, they go from Iowa to Boston to meet James Earl Jones and all that. So, that definitely did cross my mind. And I remember playing some songs from the Field of Dreams soundtrack. It was something that I'm glad happened. It was fun, but I hope I never have to do it again. I was supposed to fly into Chicago, and my plan was to have a nice dinner, you know, sleep in a hotel, and then road trip out. It was about 3 hours from Chicago, I think, to Iowa in the morning, and that would have been fine. No problem. But instead, flight canceled. And then I remember calling the travel agency that MLB has, and I said, I need to get to Iowa. The Yankees have a game there tomorrow. How can you get me there? And they said, we can't. And so I said, all right, fine. Then I'm going to rent a car because I'm not going to miss the Field of Dreams game. So, it was a long drive. And best night of sleep I ever got was in the Comfort in Dyersville, Iowa, because it was, like 18 hours straight of driving. And got a couple naps and a rest stop along the way. But it made for a cool story. Definitely a career highlight.
So I was watching that game to see Kevin Costner on the mound of the field. And then to watch the players coming out of the corn and just the whole experience, what was that like being there? I could only imagine. Like, I would have totally geeked out over that. So
geeked out too, because I grew up with that movie. I was probably 7 years old when that movie came out. So that is totally in my wheelhouse. And, you know, to be in there with Costner, and I walked right by him, and, he was there, and to see the players come out of the cornfield, that it gave you chills. It really did. And, even more than that, after the game, You know, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. I was one of the last people out of there because, you know, we talked to the players and we wrote, and the Yankees lost the game, and you write your story. And I kind of had the field to myself, and I walked around the field, and I walked out in the corn, and I tried to see if I could find the ball that Stanton hit, and I couldn't find it. But then I just kind of gave myself my own little tour. And the coolest part was you go through the corn and then you come out on the movie set, the actual field from the movie where, you know, everybody was, and the benches are still there where Costner and was sitting for that. And you can sit there, and the little farmhouse is still out there, and just kind of walking around that at 1 o'clock in the morning, it was kind of eerie and really, really cool. And I know it's a movie, it's not, but you feel it, I didn't expect to actually run into Shoeless Joe Jackson out there, but it felt like you were touching a part of cinema history. And it was special. I recommend it to any baseball fan. Go out there. If you're ever in Iowa, make sure you take the road trip to Dyersville. There's nothing to see there except for the baseball field, but it's worth the trip.
I am so jealous that you got to experience that, dude. That is so incredible to hear. I love it. So other thing, people may not realize you're an author now. You've wrote two books now. The first book.
Well, three and a half, if we three count. Three and a half. Mark Feinstein and I collaborated on Mission 27, which was on the 2009 Yankees. I wrote The Bronx Zoom on the pandemic year, and my latest one is 62 on Aaron Judge's 2022 season. There it is. There's the cover.
These guys are on it.
Forward by Roger Maris Jr., prefaced by Aaron Boone. And, that'll take you back inside the clubhouse for Judge's home run chase.
So if anybody's looking to get a copy of that, you can get that on Simon & Schuster, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Target. So, Brian, that's for you. So what was the experience going through that season watching Judge chase that record? I know there's and I don't really like to get into this topic. You know, there's a lot of asterisks with Barry Bonds and all this other stuff. What was the feel when Judge was getting close to that record and the anxiety, maybe he's not going to get there? Was there any of that going on? How did you feel through that whole situation?
Yeah, we cover the asterisk stuff in the book. And I know if you talk to Judge, he says 73 is the record. But the Maris family considered 61 the record still as a result of what we know about Bonds and McGuire and Sosa and all that. So I think that what I felt was that I never expected to be covering a home run chase like that. I mean, I was a kid for McGuire and Sosa, and it was awesome. And watching Bonds was something special, too. But I never thought that in this day and age of baseball, where there's testing and all that, I didn't think we were going to see anything like that. And to have a Yankee to make a run at Maris's record, not just any Yankee, but a Yankee right fielder, and somebody who's connects with the fan base the way that Judge does, it was special. And it, you know, front and start to finish, it was one of the greatest offensive seasons I think I'm ever going to see. Certainly one that where Judge just put it all together. And you had the contract stuff going on in the background where he turned down the extension on an opening day and really bet on himself to go out and say, "I'll show you how great I am," and then to back that up and to cash in the money and to get paid what he got paid. And then on top of that, to get named the Yankee captain. I just thought there were so many cool pieces there, so many layers to the story. It was more than just Judge having an MVP type year. There was so much history you could weave in there to go back with, you know, obviously Roger Maris Jr. when he showed up and was trailing around, the family was around. So kind of a passing of the torch there. And I think that just, you got these three great Yankee right fielders who have all held the single season home run record in the American League. It's Babe Ruth, Roger Maris, and now Aaron Judge. It's just, there's so many great connections. Roger Maris wore number 9, Judge wears number 99. So there was a lot to explore in the book and a really cool story to tell. It's a story about who Judge is as a person, how he got here, and how he fits now into this rich tapestry of Yankees history.
It's amazing that you get to experience all this stuff, man. I'm going to say this 100 times over. I'm so jealous of you.
Thank you.
So we'll talk about the players a little bit. What are they receptive to you guys being around as much? I know you're exclusive for the Yankees. Like, what relationships have you formed? Who's like, I don't want to say your closest Yankee friend, but like who tends to interact with you the most?
Oh, I mean, you know, a lot of these guys are great in the clubhouse, and, you know, they understand. It's a responsibility. Part of playing in New York City is knowing that the media is going to be around. That's just part of the deal coming in. I think that you know the volume is going to be louder than it is anywhere else. And I think that a lot of times when you get guys who come in from other markets, they remark about that. I mean, you know, I've talked to Garrett Cole about this, and, you know, he started his career in Pittsburgh, where you maybe had one or two reporters in the room with him. And then he went to Houston, where there was a little bit more, but there's nothing like New York. And so, that one of the great parts about my job is getting to forge those relationships with guys like Garrett, with guys like Judge, to watch them on a daily basis before them, with Derek, with Mariano, to have a front row seat and see, you know, not just what they do on the field, but what makes these guys tick behind the scenes, you know, how they prepare for games, you know, what they're like off the field, what their interests are, their hobbies, to get to know them just as people instead of just as ball players. And so that is my job. And it's a great job. It's a dream job. It's one that, you know, I not a day goes by that I don't think about how lucky I am to be doing what I do, and to walk into the Yankee clubhouse and realize that, you know, I think that I'll tell you about when I was covering Derek and Mariano especially at the end in their farewell season and all that. I look around that room, and Pettit and Posada were there, and you say, these guys, some of these guys are going to be in Cooperstown. We're going to be talking about these guys for their legends. And so I would go to Derek's locker and talk with Derek about X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, you're professional and you understand that I have a job to do and he has a job to do. But on some level, it's kind of like, this guy's going to be in Cooperstown. This is basically Joe DiMaggio that I'm talking to here. And I don't think that will ever go away. And so I hope it doesn't. The day that it does is the day I shouldn't be doing this anymore.
So another question is, do you travel everywhere with the team, or do you just stay in New York?
No. I go on the road. I don't do 81 home games. I don't do 81 on the road. But I'm probably doing around 130, 140 for the full season, plus spring training, plus postseason. So it is, you know, the season starts around, what, February 2, Groundhog Day. Yeah. I was down here for the first workouts. And then, you know, if the Yankees go win the World Series, it'll end sometime in early November. So it's a full plate of travel, full plate, a lot of hotels, a lot of airfare and all that. But it's a dream job. You get to travel around the country with one of the most recognizable baseball teams there ever will be. The New York Yankees are a global brand. You can go to any country. When the Yankees went to London, you see people wearing Yankee hats, and you know, everybody knows who the Yankees are, even whether they're good, whether they're bad, whether they're winning the World Series or they're finishing in fourth place. People know and they care about the Yankees, and that's one of the real cool things about my job.
Yeah. All right, so we got about 3 minutes left with you. We want to let you get back to work, and we really appreciate your time. Mark and I usually do a quick Know Your Host segment. So what we're going to do, we just got three quick questions for you that are a little personal. So my first question is, favorite destination other than Yankee Stadium ballpark to visit?
Ooh, wow. Favorite ballpark to visit. Now I'm thinking about like eight different places right now, but You know what? Usually I say here, you know, people ask you your favorite ballpark, Target Field. I love Target Field. I don't know what it is. I mean, there's something cool about, let me say, there's something cool about going to Fenway and going to Wrigley and Dodger Stadium, just the history. And as somebody who loves baseball history, but I feel like Target Field in Minnesota is a park where they just did everything right. You go there in the summertime, it is awesome. Very underrated, I feel like. I feel like if people are looking for a road trip or to tag along, I love that stadium. They did everything right.
To go along with that, what about your favorite ballpark food?
Ooh, I mean, nothing beats a hot dog at the ballpark, right? I mean, I know that's a basic answer, but, you know, and that's something – you know, Yankee Stadium had the Judge Burger, and the Judge Burger is very good, but it's also $20. So yeah. I'm kind of basic, man. I mean, if I'm going and taking my kids and we're going to sit in the stands and I'll actually be a fan and I don't have to wear this press credential for a day, let me just get a dog and a beer. Like, let me just kick back and enjoy the game. That's what I want to do.
Okay, last one. Most people don't realize this. You're a huge vintage baseball collector. Baseball cards.
I do love baseball cards.
So this is going to be a two-part question. I already know the answer to the first one, but do you have the Mantle rookie card?
No, God, I wish. God, I wish.
I wish too.
I have a reprint somewhere, but no.
I think we all have one of those.
I wish I had the original. No, I'm not to that level.
So what's the favorite one that you have in your collection? I'm a huge baseball collector too. I collect cards constantly. What's your favorite one that you own?
It's an easy answer, and it's been the same answer since 1994. If you remember, there was a Ted Williams card company back in the day, and I was 12 years old, and I went down to the corner store, and they had these like insert cards, and they were serially numbered, and I pulled number 6 of 406 and autographed Ted Williams, and 406, of course, because his final is the last guy who ever hit 400 in batting average there. So number 6 of 406 autographed, right? Beautiful blue Sharpie right across the front. So I have a Ted Williams autograph. And so, you know, I feel like if you buy an autograph, that's almost like cheating. But this one I pulled in a pack, and I mean, it's total luck of the draw. And so that's still number 1 in my collection.
Okay, so one of our viewers has a quick question for you, and then I got one more thing we'll let you get out of here. Pete Rose, sure. Hall of Fame, what do you think?
I'm okay with it. The problem is he's not on the ballot, so you can't vote for him. There's not even a box to check for Pete Rose. So, I think that for his country, enough is enough. I would like to see Pete Rose get in the Hall of Fame. I feel like that is – I don't know if it's ever going to happen. But, you know, Pete Rose is acknowledged in the Hall of Fame. They have some of his equipment there. They have the ball from his, hit that broke Ty Cobb's record. So it's not like you go to Cooperstown and they pretend he doesn't exist. But he's not in the plaque gallery. Yes, he should be there.
Okay. So
and put it on the plaque. Say he was, you know, suspended from baseball. He can't wear a uniform because of gambling on baseball. That's fine. I feel like we would all agree to that. I wish they could figure out a way to make that happen.
No doubt. I wish they would figure that out too. So I'm gonna send you an email after the show with our podcast page that we're on, because I don't think I ever officially did that. We are actually going to be doing a giveaway here soon. I have a vintage Mickey Mantle Joe DiMaggio dual relic jersey card, number 5 out of 7,
what?
That we're gonna be giving away because we reached a certain number of followers. So if you want to feel free to enter that giveaway. Please feel free.
Am I eligible as a guest of your show to win?
Absolutely.
The prize?
Yes, we're not rigging it because we do it all randomized. The second thing is, Brian, if you're ever up here covering the Rail Riders, if you're ever up in Scranton, please let us know. Reach out, because we're going to do an NDT day at the ballpark. We'd love to sit and chat with you there. We're going to have our group. We're going to try to get a group of seats blocked off in the outfield or maybe one of the boxes.
Nice.
We're going to have our guests come up and hang out with us. We're going to maybe do a live stream there. So I'd love to hang out with you. Maybe meet you in person and just shoot the crap, have a hot dog together, drink a beer. So if you're ever up this way, please let us know. We'd love to have you on, buddy.
Yeah, I was just up there last summer because we did a book signing for 62, and my kids came and had a great time. They got to run the bases, and I think they even got picked to brush the bases with a big toothbrush. And so the kids had a blast. They took a picture with Shelly Duncan, who's a great guy. Shelly's actually here as one of the coaches here in Yankee Camp, so I see him every single day now. But he'll be back up there with the Rail Riders with you. And so
Tell him to check his email, because I've been trying to get him to come on here too. I've been emailing the Rail Riders and they never answered me yet. So.
But he's got a lot on his plate right now.
I know he does.
I'm sure he'll make some time for you. And but that sounds great. I would expect I'll be in Scranton at some point this year.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I was upset I didn't get to see you because I have a copy of your book and I did want to have you sign it for me. So
you got it.
Catch
anytime
up with you next this coming summer when you're coming up. So
sounds good.
Brian, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. This was awesome. I know you're a busy guy. Enjoy Tampa. Enjoy the rest of spring training, and we'll chat with you soon, okay?
Yeah, guys, don't feel too bad for me. I got to go back down to the field. It's 75 and sunny here in Florida. I know. it's a hard knock life for me. Yeah.
All right, my man. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time, buddy.
Thank you so much.
Right, have a good one. Enjoy. We actually got to finish the show after that.
Oh my God, man. That was,
that was so cool that he took the time, and such a chill guy. He was so cool. I spoke to him on the phone the other day chatting just to kind of make sure everything was set up. And I was telling Corey, well, you were here too. Like, I was freaking out, like, just show up, dude. Cause you know, we're pushing this out there, and you know, sometimes things happen and people can't make it on. So that was really awesome that he took the time to hang out with us.
Oh man, he definitely didn't have to do that. I know we made the joke moving up to NDT Sports, but to the big leagues. No, but it was awesome. He definitely didn't have to do that. Take time. He's a busy man. And you did an awesome job, Aaron, just to, you know, interviewing him. I let you kind of do your thing because you put the work in, and I appreciate all the work you did. That was just awesome. I'm not a Yankees fan, and I won't be, but I'm definitely a Brian Hoke fan. I definitely want to get his book and stuff.
Yeah, no, I got a copy of it. You guys can read it if you want to borrow it. And I'm hoping, I mean, he's pretty, I've been chatting with him back and forth since the middle of January. He was out with paternity leave with his kid, and his schedule has not really meshed up. And he was so apologetic the other day. Like, I'm so sorry I haven't made this work for you guys. So, man of his word, stood up for what he was saying. So that's awesome.
Joe, up next. It's kind of hard to get back into our normal.
Yeah, we got to get back in our routine.
Just make sure you don't say the M word. You might get banned here. Okay, so don't say the M word.
Anybody that has a comment with the M word in it, Jared, just keep it out of the stream for us, please. Kind of censor those. We don't want to get. We got guys. If you weren't here the other night, we actually got banned on TikTok. Corey did for till March 4th, I think it was, because we said the M word that these guys refer themselves to as anyway. So Corey got a live ban. So he's not allowed to go live on TikTok till March 4th. So that's tomorrow, buddy. It's only another 24 hours.
That and Twitch. I know a couple of guys were asking about our Twitch to watch. We weren't allowed to go live the other night until we switched our title.
Yes. Josh and Polly, that's the word, but we're not putting it up.
Yes, Josh. Apparently, TikTok finds it offensive, even though the people that are putting the show together themselves advertise it as such on their own flyers. The things that we find offensive nowadays baffles my mind, but this is the sports show. We could talk about that on the variety show later tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you guys are there.
So, Corey, stay right here. We need a couple minutes to kind of wind down.
Yeah, I can imagine. You had a long morning here.
Yeah, so let's chat. Let's talk about Friday. I want everybody to know what we're doing. Let's.
We're down to the nitty gritty, man. When we first got this all set up, all right, you looked at me. You're like, listen, we got just over a month to prepare for this. You know, let's not go too crazy yet. And I said, man, it's going to be up here super quick. You know, it's going to get here quick. And man, did it. Like, we are less than a week away. So Friday, guys, we are heading up to Walton, New York, to the Castle on the Delaware, bright and early ourselves. So we're going to be there early afternoon. We're going to be there for when Little Mania Micro Wrestling, when their crew gets there to set up, we will be there. We are going to check things out, see how they're setting up, see where they want us. I do know we are going to be ringside. So we are going to set our stuff up. We will have a camera on the ring. You guys will get to see the event from wherever you're at. So make sure you're tuning in for that. You're not just going to see our beautiful mugs. You're going to see the event. You're going to see all the action. And hopefully we get to have a couple of the wrestlers, a little bit of the talent. Get it? A little bit of the talent. Sit down and chat with us live on air. It's going to be a good time. So we plan on going live around 7:30 p.m. Eastern. All right. We plan on getting on early enough. And then the show itself starts at 8. So the matches will start around 8. It's, you know, we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be a big event for us. We hope that you guys tune in to see something cool, something unique, something different. All right. So that's where we're at with that.
I cannot wait. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah. We need that. It's going to be a good time just to go out and hang out and do our thing from up there. You know,
absolutely.
It's not going to be as serious and planned out as we're doing every week here, but that's going to be a crazy time. So.
Just read Jeff and Polly. Polly's I identify as a midget, so it's all right.
Stop saying the word, bro.
Oh, sorry. Little person.
Onyx in chat. Hello. How are you doing today? You are catching the sports show bright and early. We just had MLB sports writer Brian Hoke on with us. Aaron did a fantastic job with the interview. Mark threw in a nice question there at the end too. I like how you worked that in with the stadiums question mark. That was perfect. But Brian was so awesome. Gave us a lot of his time, a lot of his valuable time. So
absolutely. Yeah. I wanted to let Aaron put the legwork in and he's the Yankees fan. I just wanted to let him, I had a couple of things, but he hit everything I had pop in my head too. So
and that's why I didn't come out of my cave. You know, I was sharing the cave with Jared today. And, you know, Aaron did a fantastic job.
Well, thank you, boys. I appreciate it. I told Corey this morning, I was totally fine with this all week. I even told Brady yesterday, I was like, I should be nervous about this, but I'm not. And then I couldn't sleep last night. And then I woke up this morning and I'm like, what if he doesn't show up? What if my mic cuts out in the middle of the interview? What if my internet goes down? I'm like, holy crap.
What if your partner has to go pee right when he jumps on?
Yeah.
Like, he came in and told us. We're waiting for him. We're waiting, waiting, waiting. And as soon as, like, I literally go around the corner. I look, I'm like, oh, I'm running down the stairs to the bathroom trying to.
Yeah. And he said, you know, he had about 15 minutes. So I'm like, you know what? Why don't we go live like ASAP? So as soon as Mark gets back, let's go live.
I don't think I ran that fast this morning when I was running the 6 miles. So.
He stayed a little over, which was cool, but he answered everything we asked him that we could. I mean, I could have sat here with 2 hours for him and still had not had enough time.
Yeah. And for sure, I hope he takes us up on our offer to you know, if he is up this way for a Scranton Rail Riders game, let us know. We'll try to hit the ballpark with him, enjoy a hot dog and a beer, you know, so he can just be a fan.
Well, I follow him on Facebook, too. Anybody else that wants to follow him, it's Brian Hoch, H-O-C-H. He's always updating. I mean, he put a reel up this morning that with Hal Steinbrenner running up and down, the owner of the team running up and down the stairs. So, I mean, it was pretty cool to see. But, yeah, anybody wants to follow him. But I'll keep an eye for when he's coming up to Scranton, too. He usually announces that stuff. So, but it'd be cool to meet him in person. That was a great time.
And then I appreciate him giving Jared a holler for the intro. He said it was one of the best ones. Jared, you did an awesome job with that, brother. I appreciate that, too.
Man,
I was trying to bring him out of his cave, but he stayed.
Oh, I'll come out of my cave. I'm just, you know, that's why I do this. I enjoy the comments that I get for doing these.
Yeah, that was perfect. So, Mark, your mic is on Fritz a little bit again. If you want to reset that bad boy,
yeah, reset her.
All right, so we got to get into some more sports to round out the show. We got another half hour of content to get through.
That's all right. We got some stuff. I'm going to mark you once he's all set up. We're going to talk about the combine. I know Mark, I don't know how much Mark watched.
Midget.
Oh, Jesus. God, here we go. Dude, don't.
You got to get his band, bro.
He's found. Hi,
he pops in for that. Clear the milk jugs off the shelves, guys.
It's like the sound wave, too, on the rated R for him. Justin, we love you. We miss you, buddy. I'm glad you're here. You missed the interview, man. We had a good time.
Onyx, I got banned Friday night on TikTok Live for saying that M word. These other sites aren't
midgets.
These other sites aren't as sensitive as TikTok. But TikTok, it flagged that word immediately. I'm like, that's what so
Brian stopped watching this after.
He's out. Oh, he took on. All right, so we're gonna try to get back to normal here. I'm a little bit on a cloud nine right now. I'm a little bit of a high.
Listen, I'm telling you, it's kind of Justin and I were the same way last year. God, was it 2 years ago now when we had Dave Landau on? It was like 2 years ago, a year and a half. When we had Dave on, like we were, you know, the day of when we were waiting for him to come into stream, we were like, all right, come on, get in here. Let's go. Are you going to be here? The anxiety is real.
Yeah.
Like when you have a big moment like that.
Oh, yeah. Things happen and you're pushing it out there. You know, you don't want to have things come up like we did with. I had more anxiety over Flying Ryan not coming in, but now we'll get him on here. You should text him and see if he's busy.
His shirt will be here midweek, by the way. Supposed to be.
Text him now and see if he wants to come in. We'll chat with him for a little bit. Why not?
All right. I'll back out. I will let you guys do your thing for the rest of the show. If you need me, let me know. I'm more than willing to hop in and give my opinion on things.
There we go.
Midget.
You sound like a frog, dude.
He does. He's
like a freaking Budweiser frog.
Oh, I should have said something to him about, hey, I ran, you know, 3 miles today. Did you know Brian was a 2-time New York City marathon finisher?
Yep, marathon runner. Yeah.
I should have said, oh, yeah, my 3 miles, bro. 23 freaking miles or whatever a marathon is.
So we're going to try to get somewhat back on track. I don't know how we're going to do
it. Yeah, man, that was awesome. I'm stoked.
Did you watch any of the combine?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me. I didn't get to see much of it. What do you got for me?
Oh, man. It's been a pretty quiet week for the most part. But there was this guy. His name is, I'm trying to look it up right now, Xavier Worthy. He set the combine record at a 40-yard dash. 4.21 seconds.
Oh, that was that big. What positions did he play?
He's a wide receiver.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. he 4.21 seconds he flew, man, watching him take off, and then he just kept running. Like, once he realized what he did, he just ran the full 100 yards and just kept sprinting. It was absolutely insane.
I might be able to get the 40-foot dash in 4.2.
Yeah, right there. He
looks off. Like a runner. Like, he's from, like, what's a guy? Usain Bolt.
Oh, man, yeah. The world record holder there. And then the other thing was top 16 prospect, or it's not prospect, but, you know, combine. Nate Wiggins, he's out of Clemson. He ran a 4.28 40, but got hurt and had to withdraw from the rest of the combine stuff, running that stuff. So, you know, which he's out of Clemson. He's, you know, hopefully that doesn't affect his draft stock for that young man. You know, going in the first round is a big difference compared to going to the second and third money-wise. You know what I'm saying?
So, speaking of affecting your draft stock, was it Caleb Williams refuses to do the medical stuff? Is that what I was reading the other day?
He's refusing to release the medical stuff to anybody that besides team. He's not doing it publicly. He's releasing it to, if the Bears want to talk to him, you know, the Patriots, you know, the top couple of teams. But he's not letting it go out public. I'm not sure why. Nothing's been said that I've caught. He's not letting anybody else besides the teams that he's interviewing with. Did you see that? It went to dark.
Who's changing our banners? I got a feeling something bad's gonna happen when that comes up in the background. We switched from sports to rated R. I'm like, uh-oh. So but, what do you think? I got a question for you. Your opinion with the Bears' first pick. Do you think they're gonna trade Fields away? Or do you think they're gonna trade the pick away?
I thought it would have happened by now. If they were going to trade Fields, I thought they were going to happen this week. So I'm not sure. I think they should keep Fields. I think Fields is going to be a good player if he gets help. But the problem is I don't think they think that. I think they want to go because you can reset the clock. You can reset the rookie, you know, paying, because Fields is going into his fifth year option after this. So you're going to have to pay him. So now if you bring in Caleb Williams or something like that, which Caleb originally was out that he hated, didn't want to go to Chicago, but he released, said how he loves Michael Jordan and Walter Payton, and doesn't care where he goes. So he'll be excited to go wherever. So the only other thing is I didn't get to see it because I was busy yesterday with running my daughter's concession stand. JJ McCarthy didn't do the broad jump or something else because of a hamstring injury, but he did throw. So the Wolverine quarterback. But I didn't get to see any of him throwing on Saturday because I was trying to do some research to get ready for Brian and get ready for today's show. So while I was at I had my laptop. It's part of why my mic cut out, because my laptop, I had to unplug everything, and my mic is so finicky.
Okay. So. We got to talk about doing a mock draft somehow. We'll set that up with you guys, and we want to get into that stuff at some point. So
that's yeah, and then March Madness is coming right around the corner.
Well, that was my next topic. So March Madness is coming up. We got to figure out, to all the viewers, we're going to try to set up some type of system with a website. We can do the bracket challenge with all you guys. You'll all be able to submit your brackets. It'll score them for you. We won't have to be involved too much, but we'll just be able to see the end results. So we want to have some fun with March Madness. We want to have some fun with the draft. So we got a lot of cool things coming up here in the next couple of weeks. I know we've been beating the piss out of football, but it's just seemed like it's everything that's at the front of the table right now. I know playoff hockey's coming up, or if that hasn't even started, I don't even know yet. NBA season's starting to get to that point where it's going to be a lot of playoff implications. I don't like to talk about him, but LeBron James, credit where credit is due. First player in history to score 40,000 points. So congrats to him. That's a big accomplishment.
I know Nikki will be happy. She was watching that game.
Yeah. Yep. So I know LeBron can fill up a basketball card. So kudos to him on yet another accomplishment that he could put on his belt. You know, so he's a good player, great player. He's just not Michael Jordan. So I'll leave that in there.
Someone put it to me, Michael Jordan is the GOAT, LeBron's the best player, but individual player, not going for overall team or all the other stuff. I don't know what you think about that. That's how it was put to me. I think Joe put it to me that way.
Yeah, we've had that debate. I'm not going to go back into that.
Well, I'm not going back into the GOAT debate. We're going back in there.
Yeah, I mean.
But he like definitely, I said, we're going to miss him, I think. I think you're going to miss him more than you realize when he does.
LeBron?
Yeah.
No way. He'll fill up a basketball card. He'll chase stats. He chases championships. He doesn't earn them.
Who are you going to bitch about then when he leaves?
I don't know. Antetokounmpo Kubupo, whatever the hell his name is. How about Victor Wembanyama? Like that dude.
He's going to be monster.
That guy's a monster. He makes Shaquille O'Neal look like a midget. Oh, sorry. There it was. So,
not the M word.
Yeah, my brother. See, he knows. No, we won't miss LeBron. Michael Jordan is the GOAT. So, yeah, the NBA season is going to be crazy here when this playoff starts coming out. My Knicks are doing really good. Your Sixers are up there too. So we'll get into more of that next week.
They're talk of Embiid coming back. So if that happens, that might up my spirits on the Sixers. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. What else we got, Marky? What do you got
for me? Did you want to go over, did we want to start our breakdown of the divisions? That's what you told me you wanted to work on a little bit.
Yeah. Today. So we're going to break down our divisions and just give a little prediction of where we think our teams are going to land. So
we're in the NL. Are we going today? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, so this is funny. Mark and I had a conversation on Tuesday and we were like, well, why don't we just break each division down until the season starts? We got about 6 weeks till that happens. And then I said, all right, cool. And then we were going to start with the NL West. And then Brian Hulk decided he's going to join the show. So I'm like, well, we can't go with Brian. Like, so Shohei Ohtani, or what do you think about the Dodgers? So we're going to start in the AL East. Mark, I'll let you take the floor with this one to start off. What do you think? What are your predictions, I guess? I'm not going to go too in-depth, but where do you think this division is going to shake out?
Man, maybe it was just me getting ready for Brian a little bit. I was still thinking the Orioles were gonna take the division because that's how they did last year. But I don't know, after doing some research and stuff like that, that lineup for the Yankees is looking good. How do you feel about their starting pitching? Like, how do you feel, or their pitching in general? Like, that's the only what I've seen worry that a lot of people have with the Yankees. But that offense is going to be really hard to beat, and I think they're going to make a jump. I think they're either going to take first or second in the division. I think they're going to be right back up there. I think that division is going to be tight, just like last year. There was three playoff teams, right? Out of that division, right?
I'm trying to think how it ended up.
Yeah, I think it was, wasn't it?
Baltimore, Tampa, and Toronto wasn't in. I think it was just Baltimore and Tampa. It was pretty close to the wire.
Oh, I thought Toronto made it. That could
Yankees
be wrong.
Yankees came in third place and missed everything. But my problem is going to be is with the rotation. Is Rodon going to stay healthy? Can Marcus Stroman be Marcus Stroman? Because he's a bit of a head case when he needs to be. Nestor Cortez, he's coming back from an injury. Garrett Cole is Garrett Cole. He's the best pitcher in baseball right now. I was really hoping that they were going to get Blake Snell, but again, that's a big contract to eat. You have to give up draft picks for that, and I think that's going to impede their ability to extend Juan Soto. But it could also play in their favor. Soto might see, well, they're going all in on this team. I want to stay here, which I think at the end is going to happen anyway. I think Soto is going to sign an extension.
What about Stanton? How's he looking? I thought slim in the down. Beginning. He looks pretty good this year. Like, he looks healthier and stronger and better to come back.
Yeah.
So Stanton, I know that was a
Stanton
lot of worry.
Stanton is key. Stanton is going to be a key to this team, and so is Anthony Rizzo. Rizzo's coming back from his concussion. They missed him. He's a good leader. Yeah, that's my guy. But I think the rotation is going to be the biggest thing. I don't necessarily think Stroman is going to be the guy to bail them out, but I'm hoping I'm wrong. When they signed him, I was kind of like, oh. But we'll see. We'll see how that's going to shape out. I think Rodon is going to be the biggest wild card with his back and making sure they got that two-headed monster at the top of the rotation with him and Garrett Cole. After that, the offense, I think, can carry maybe two out of the other three pitchers. we'll see how that works. Excuse me, I was about to sneeze.
No, you're good.
Their offense is just is ridiculous.
If you they know, can stay healthy, right?
Like if they can stay healthy. But you also have to look at it too. Thing. Jason Dominguez, if he's back June, July, it's like a call up or a trade acquisition for him. Catcher is going to be a big question mark for them.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Some of Trevino, I'd love to see Austin Wells break camp with them and do the things that he's got to do. Revert is there too. He's that dude's just jacked. But I would like to see Austin Wells get that job and just let these kids play and win. Mm-hmm. Volpe, I think, is going to have a better season than I did last year. I know they rolled the dice with him at short. So,
now, what do you think team, about the – oh, sorry, I thought you were done, brother.
Go no, ahead. Go ahead.
No, you finish up. I was going to the Orioles. I want to see
what you thought about that. So I was transitioning in. So that team that we have right now, I still don't think – I think the Orioles – and then I'm going to go out on a limb here because I'm a Yankee fan, but I think the Orioles still take the division. They got they so were 100 many young win kids. Team. Yep.
Oh, that Holiday, right? That Jackson Holiday, right? Isn't he?
Jackson Holiday, number one prospect in baseball. They got Corbin Burns. They have Adley Rutschman. I mean – that team is just – those kids are hungry. They want to play, and they win. So, yeah. I think –
Craig Kimbrell's there too, I saw.
Yeah, he's old.
See, that's what – like it touches home a little bit because he used to be with the Braves. I remember him when he was a Brave. But he's going to be the closer, I think, right? Is that mm-hmm. the
– I don't know if he's going to be their closer or not, but – I
maybe
mean,
set up guy?
Could be, but he's just – I think his dog days are finally catching up to him. He's run that arm's got a lot of miles on it.
Oh, yeah. So. Oh, yeah. I loved him when he was with the Braves. The Red Sox, I think the main additions I've seen with the Red Sox has been in their front office, like Theo Epstein coming back in and doing stuff. I think it's going to be a building year, personally. I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe I'm missing something in what I've seen.
As much as I hate that team, they always find a way to make some noise and cause trouble in that division. So I'm going to throw my prediction out there. It's going to be the way I think the division's going to shake out. It's going to be Baltimore, New York, Tampa, Toronto, Boston. Mm-hmm. And it's arguably the strongest division in the league. And that's why I wanted to go over this one last. There's just so many teams in that division. Like, I think every team was over 500 for a good portion of the season last year at some point, you know, all together. And that's incredible to have in one division. So we'll see how that's going to shape up.
Even Boston was fourth and they were just like two games under or three games on, you know, to finish the
year. It was crazy. So, and the bad part is they play each other 19 times out of the year.
Yeah.
So you get good teams. You're playing against 19 games against good teams automatically just in your division alone. You know, it's going to be a lot of give and take. So I just, like I said, I think Baltimore still takes the division, but we'll see if the Yankees rotation is healthy enough and they play like they're supposed to play, it could go the other way. But right now, the way I see it, it's Baltimore at the top.
That's what my prediction when it, because we said we were going to try to do a little prediction. My prediction was Baltimore first, New York second. Then I was going to go Tampa, Toronto, and Boston. I think that's the same order you have. I'm looking over at my notes, and that's what I had written down. I think it's hard to see Baltimore going from a 100-win year to falling off. Like you said, they're young and they're hungry, and that's going to be.
And they added Corbin Burns, huge acquisition from Milwaukee. So that's only.
Now, didn't they lose Flaherty though? And Frazier, weren't they two of their key people? I think they lost, didn't they? Didn't they go away?
I don't know. I'm not a Baltimore fan, so I couldn't tell you.
So. I'm an all-around sports fan, buddy. I'm trying to see.
Yep. I don't know if they did lose them or not. I just looked at the additions, and I still think they're going to be the team to beat in that division.
Yeah, so. And then getting the number one prospect in baseball, too, to add to that young is going to be.
He's knocking on the door. He's knocking on the door.
Hey, Pat. How you doing?
Pat, what do you think? Think the O's going to beat the Yankees this year?
He said he was going to watch today because I told him about Brian coming on. He's like, I'm going to watch it, but with my my O's hat on. So
it was Royals hat. I was thinking about wearing like an Oakland Athletics hat or something just to see if he said anything, but I was like, I better not do that.
Yeah, I was originally going to bust out my Braves. That I was kind of my uniform that I was saving for like opening day weekend. But I'm like, yeah, I'm going to I don't want to make the guy angry, but he seemed like a really, really cool dude.
Oh,
so
chill, man. So, all right. What else you got for me, dude?
Nah, that's about it. I was getting ready to, you know, we have a pretty big week coming up. So do you want to, get started with the Get to Know Your Host?
Let's do it. Okay, this is your segment. Go for it, bub.
So, to go with the NFL Combine, so I've been doing some research on some of the craziest questions that NFL teams have asked.
Are you going to ask me these questions?
I'm going to ask you those questions, yes. Oh, there's like four or five of them.
Go ahead.
So, do you find your mother attractive?
What? They seriously asked that question?
They did.
Mom, if you're watching, my mom is a very beautiful woman.
Then would you rather be a cat or a dog?
A dog.
Okay.
So did the players actually answer these questions?
They do. Okay. Some of them, there's been ones where they actually, like, I'm kind of staying away from the topic. They've asked if, do you like men and stuff like that? And people actually got strictly upset with it and mad. Started yelling at the, like, another stupid one. But what is your murder weapon of choice?
What did he say?
These are questions these guys are getting asked.
And they answered that.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. Boxers or briefs?
Commando.
Oh. No.
The Giants used to ask this. I don't know if they still do. Do you look at the toilet paper when you're done using the bathroom?
Oh, my God.
Would you share your internet history?
Of course.
I wouldn't. And the craziest one that I got asked this year, and I don't know why, and this is your last question. So you're on a speeding bus coming down a hill from Alaska, speeding down a hill out of control. Where are you sitting?
I'm on a speeding bus coming down the hill out of control in Alaska?
Yeah, and where are you sitting on the bus?
I'm going to sit right in the front of that bastard and watch where it goes. I'm going to steer that right to an iceberg. I can't believe they actually asked those questions.
Yeah, there was a couple more controversial that I didn't want to. I wasn't going to, you know, even more controversial than the ones I asked you. I just didn't want to go there and cause any issues and piss anybody off.
Oh, it's funny.
Since we are not the rated R show, those are questions I could save for when we're after hours. Maybe one night, if we do an extra episode, I'll jump on and start asking Corey and Justin and all you guys.
3 a.m.
Yeah, some of the really inappropriate stuff that.
All right, so give us one. We won't answer it, but give us one that you know of off the top of your head. If you can't remember it, it's cool. We'll move on.
The main one that got a lot of people fired up was, do you like men?
What do you mean by that?
Okay. Do you like men? That got a lot of controversy because of rights and stuff like that and stuff like that. So there's a couple others I don't know off the top of my head. I didn't write them down because I didn't want to be tempted to ask you to be straight up honest and throw things.
Oh, I wouldn't have cared.
I know, not that you was. This is okay, kind
I'm
of
not answering that. Yeah. So, all right, cool. So, first one for you. We're doing our small person wrestling this weekend. I've never actually asked you this question. So, your dream match that you would want to watch as a wrestling fan, which two wrestlers are fighting for the WWE title?
Oh.
All time, any wrestlers you want.
I told you Ultimate Warrior was one of my favorite. And then him and The Rock. Like, not the new Rock, not the Rock, the heel Rock, but getting those two.
Attitude Era Rock.
Yeah, Attitude Era Rock, get him going. Maybe even a Fatal 3-Way, throw Stone Cold in there. Do a little.
Be cool. All right. Ultimate World Series matchup. Who would you want to see the Braves play?
Who would I want to see them play, like, this year, or who do I think they're going to play?
All right, so let me.
Well, you know what? So it would be a competition. Something that I think would be really fun for me personally is a nice little friendly competition between me and my neighbor. Yeah, Mets.
How are they going to play the Mets in the
World Series? They can't play them in the World Series. They're in the same division.
Here he comes.
So, no, he's getting ready to comment, I think.
It'll happen. He's going to make it happen.
It'd be fun for me and Pat to go back and forth with a Braves O's World Series.
Okay. All right. Non-related sports question. If you were given $100,000 to buy a car, what would your dream car be? And you can spend
a Nissan Skyline.
A Skyline,
a GTR. I don't know why. Do you remember Fast and the Furious?
Yeah.
I think it was to the silver Skyline Brian or whatever was driving. I loved Skylines, but I also like that's more of a street car or a Bugatti.
I picked you as like a, I don't know, a Bentley kind of dude or a Mercedes.
I used to take us back to back in the day when we were younger, East Coast Effects, our little, we used to have a car club, East Coast Effects car club. I think I had a 1986 Mazda 626 that was in it. I think Corey had a Toyota Corolla, if I remember, his little red one that he had. Then he had a Jetta. But yeah, I liked that silver Skyline.
Check your wires. Here.
God. What is going on? Yep, there it is.
As long as you don't put those little fart can exhausts on it, I'd be okay with watching that car driving up and down the road, but I hate the noise those goddamn things make.
Now, what would you do?
Car-wise?
Yeah.
A Ford Mustang all day long.
Ford Mustang.
I want a Mustang.
A new one or an old one?
I don't care. As long as it's a two-door and it's a convertible and it's jet black with like four coats of wax on it, that's what I want. Yep, I don't care.
Awesome.
So, Corey, you had a fart can on your car?
Yeah, his Jetta. And a wing just like that. I remember we put it on at my house.
Why?
My mom got us I'm reading comments about Brian. People are commenting saying we did awesome, by the way.
I was a dumb teenager who thought it was super cool because of Fast and Furious. I was young and impressionable.
Draw with the noise?
But because it sounds cool. Car goes brap.
Yep.
It's awesome.
Now I get annoyed.
even now I like cars that have a nice throaty exhaust sound. Like I knew that one was going to get you.
He just wants throaty.
Thank you, Jeff. Talk to my wife about that. She's going to kill me. Not rated R.
Midgets.
Not rated R.
We're neighbors. Let's go.
I do like a nice exhaust sound. I when I took over her Toyota Corolla, I got a full cat-back Borla exhaust system. I just like the tone. Like, what if you have a muscle? You like the sound of a muscle car with a nice exhaust?
I
love it. I think it's great.
That was it makes never me happy. A thing for me.
Oh, the deep.
Like, I like it.
I love a lot of exhaust on the bike too.
I don't like
the muscle sound cars the sound game. Better though.
Well, yeah,
they just do. Sound better than the fucking ricers.
Did my VR6 sound nice? My GTI.
I thought
did
it
that
did.
Car sound nice. Yeah. Four cylinders don't really sound good with an exhaust, but that GTI VR6 was beautiful. Not to mention I may or may not have had it straight piped at one point in time, but no.
It's a nice hoodie you got there, Justin.
Neither here nor there.
Where'd you get that from?
Kristen, yes, the original few were great.
Justin, where'd you get that
from? From Corey's house.
Got him from
Corky. There's the sound. There's the sound.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure we'll put it at the Trendy Forbes.
Trendy Forbes. Anybody wants to order some merch, thetrendyforbes.com. Use code NDT at checkout.
Yes, that's how we get credit.
Discount. Yep, we get credit.
You get your discount, we get credit.
You get your discount.
So I'm going to circle back here to Corey's answer, Mets versus Braves. That could...
He said in the future, could happen. That was a dream.
It could happen because the MLB has been okayed for two more cities to get teams.
Correct.
Which gives you 32, which then how are they going to restructure everything? They're going to have to.
While the four of us are in here, MLB, two cities that you think should get an MLB team, and I'll tell you mine. The first one's going to be Nashville, and I think the second one should be somewhere in Utah, like Salt Lake City, something like that.
Salt Lake City got one.
A major league
Salt
team?
Salt Lake City got okayed for a stadium in Vegas.
They need more.
I was going to say Vegas. Because Vegas is just...
However, to answer that question, I think they should start taking teams out of the MLB. It's too washed down. The talent is just across the league. You have minor league teams in Major League Baseball.
I could see that. And it's sad. Drop some of it out. You're going to lose a lot of.
Fans, is it because people won't spend the money, or is it because the talent?
No, it's making a shitload of money. That's why they're expanding, but
it's the owners.
From a talent standpoint, watching it, it's hard. It's hard watching some teams play.
Now, I know that Tampa as a team had a great year last year, but what was their attendance like?
Horrible.
Professional sports teams down there in Florida do not seem to do well. And I don't get it. So I feel like they should be moved so that they can get some true support.
Miami struggles with attendance too down there, right? Like,
The only thing I can think of for reasoning for that is, and this might be the dumbest excuse in the world, but spring training is down there. So you get so many stadiums, so many spring training stadiums and so many teams down there playing so many games so early. And I hate to sound like this, but most of Florida is where people go to retire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So unless you're bringing a lot of tourists in, they don't want to go. They want to stay in the air conditioning and watch it at the house.
All of these.
The best bet with those big stadiums is just have like certain games there. Certain teams play there throughout the year. That's it. Get rid of the teams down there.
Like a neutral site kind of thinking.
Start playing World Series and shit down there. So they're always warm. You don't have to worry about fucking snow in October.
I'm worried about Vegas. Does Jacksonville do well down there? Is their attendance good? Is their support good? I could have swore they struggled too.
They did, I believe. I'm not sure about this year.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
They do great.
Do they?
Since they got bought.
Trevor Lawrence and the stuff now and the new owners, they're doing good.
I don't know about pulling teams out, but I also don't know about adding teams. But to go back to the original question with that, my answer was just because he said dream matchup. Who knows? Maybe with realignment.
I know, but it could happen.
It could happen eventually.
They'd
have to move them to a different division, but yeah, that would work. Yeah. They will change leagues. Like, well, look at the Brewers did it. The Astros did it. So
yeah, exactly. That's what it I said.
Down the road.
Okay.
All right.
Finish your segment, boys.
I think we're good. I think we're all set. We're gonna be guys. Don't forget again Friday night. We're gonna probably around 7:30. We're gonna go live.
Yep.
We're gonna be at the Castle on the Delaware in Walton, New York, broadcasting live from Micromania Little Wrestling up there. I'll just say the other word, but I couldn't. I caught myself. Great people up there. We can't wait to get up there and set up and get moving. We'll probably film a little bit of the setup process, and we'll try to get some interviews prior to the thing. So, guys, we're really excited about this. So make sure you tune in, tell your friends. My son is actually having a watch party in my living room because he can't go. So we're going to have the YouTube set up on the big screen for him. But I'm excited to get up there and get this done. I think we all need just to kind of exhale a little bit when we get up there and have some fun.
Yeah, we'll have a good time for sure. Once we get it, once we know everything's going to work. Like when I used to DJ, the hardest thing was, did I do everything right? Is everything going to work okay? Yep. And then we'll be able to exhale and we'll be able to settle down and be us.
It's all a new experience, man, and I'm excited for it.
Just pushing the envelope just a little bit. So I love it.
We're going to learn. Don't forget tonight, the variety show, 7 o'clock tonight, right, Corey?
Yep. 7 p.m. Eastern tonight.
What are you talking about, Justin? What are you talking about tonight?
Justin, where are you taking the lead?
A little tired.
You can fall asleep again?
Tired, apparently. But we're probably, guys, honestly, since this week, we have a wrestling event on Friday night. Maybe we'll discuss some WWE topics tonight. Maybe we'll get on that. Awesome. So it's, again,
can you keep up?
Fly by the seat of your pants.
Damn, can you keep up?
Can I keep up? Sure. Absolutely. We'll make sure of it. You lead the way, buddy.
WWE wrestling, not the other wrestling, right? You know?
Midgets.
You lead the way, all
right? Dude, it's so nice to see your ugly mug right now. I missed you.
No, you didn't. Nobody misses this, bro.
We did. Always. We sent out a search party.
We had a search party. We put out the milk jugs and everything.
When I switched the brand, I was looking for that picture to use as my avatar.
Jared,
I knew it. I told you, Jared. He switched over.
I missed him.
And he didn't realize that when he switches over to just to look at things, it changes the whole background.
The can-do crusher.
I didn't know that.
The can-do crusher. I miss him. We got him back right here in person.
All right, guys.
Yeah, you get that shirt made. Shit.
Thank you so much. Checking in for main show out tonight, 7 p.m. Jared, get us the hell out of here.
Midgets.